but first a man who's trying to build a time machine. Now, I should say, Ron Mallet is no crackpot. He's a theoretical physicist at the University of Connecticut, who's published many papers in professional journals. And I might add, he's also one of the few black physicists around. Mallet has just written a book called Time Traveler. It's the story of his very personal quest to figure out a way to go back in time. And Strange Champs wanted to know more.
When did you first become interested in time travel?
It was actually when I was 10 years old. My father, he was a wonderful person, and for me, the sun rose and set on him. But no one knew just how ill he was. He looked like a very robust person, and he died suddenly of a heart attack. He was only 33 years old, and it completely destroyed my world. And I went from being a rather happy kid to a rather depressed kid. But one of the gifts that he left me was a love for reading. And shortly after he died, I came across H.G. Wells' book, The Time Machine. It was like, oh, wow, this is it. This is the answer. Because I thought if I could build a time machine, then I could see him again. I could go back into the past and see him again.
And actually save his life?
That's right. So that became my holy grail. My goal was to try to build a time machine to see him again and tell him what was going to happen and maybe keep him from dying. So that was actually the beginning of my interest in time travel. The thing that you might say solidified for me, though, was a couple of years later, I came across a popular level book about Einstein. And in that book, it said that time was not something that was absolute. Time could be changed. So that meant to me that what H.G. Wells had said could be true. And so I really knew that this is what I had to do, was to try to understand Einstein so that I could build this time machine.
So how did you wind up becoming a theoretical physicist?
What happened is that when I got out of high school, we were poor. After my father died, the family was very poor, and college was not something that was automatically in the picture, and I knew that if I wanted to go to college, I was going to have to get the money, so I decided to go into the service. So I became an enlisted man in the Air Force, and I worked on electronic computers, and it was actually during that time that I changed, because all of a sudden I realized that it was going to be physics. I actually fell in love with this thing called quantum theory. I mean, people have heard about it, okay? And it said the strange thing that the electron could do, that it could be everywhere and it could pass through walls. And I wanted to know about the people who could do that. And I read that they were theoretical physicists.
So you wound up doing your graduate work and you got your degree and you began moving up the academic ladder as a physicist. What happened to your interest in time travel during those years?
The thing is that even when I was a kid, I knew that people were concerned about me because I was in this depressed state. And so I was astute enough to realize not to tell them that I was wanting to build a time machine, because I didn't want to think about dealing
really
with the consequences
lost
of that. Exactly. And of course, when I was going up the academic ladder, you know, I thought, if I tell my colleagues I'm interested in building a time machine, right, I'm going to get tenure, forget it. You know?
So, but was it something you were still thinking about? Or had progressed so far in physics, you'd put the idea of time travel away?
No. See, the thing is that what I did was I developed a cover plan. You have to realize that in physics, physics is a strange, strange beast. There's what people call legitimate crazy ideas, and then there's what people call crazy, crazy ideas. Now, black holes were legitimate crazy. In other words, in black holes, it turns out that black holes are connected with Einstein's work, and black holes are connected with time. I'll explain that. It turns out that a black hole is a star. It's a star that has collapsed to a point where the gravity around the star is so great that all the light that tries to escape from the star gets pulled back to the star. But now, a black hole also does something strange to time. It turns out that if you take a clock, the closer you get to a black hole, the more time slows down. And if you get near the edge of a black hole, you can actually bring time nearly to a halt. And this slowing down of time actually means that if you understood more about a black hole, you could control time, and that would form a sort of a time machine. So this meant that by studying black holes, I could study about time, and then I could also be considered legitimate crazy.
Well, so during all these years, what kind of progress did you make secretly on the side in your understanding of time?
Well, the thing is that if you look at black holes, rotating black holes, it turns out that there's a property associated with them that they cause space and time to be dragged around, and that it's a possibility with a rotating black hole of actually finding loops in time that can allow you to go into the past. So I realized that Einstein's theory was the key, that if I understood more about Einstein's theory of gravity, his general theory of relativity, then this might allow me to have a time machine that could go back into the past.
Slow down. So the key to this sounds like it's making a time loop.
How do you make
a time loop?
In a way, you can actually think of space as being like a substance. Even though we think of it as being completely empty, in Einstein's theory, you can actually think of it as a substance.
Like fabric. And
like a fabric, that's right. But you could also think of it in a way as being like liquid. And in my work, the key to it was the fact that I thought about what rotating black holes did. They could rotate and they could twist space around them. Let's suppose that you think of empty space as being like coffee in a cup, okay? Mm-hmm. Then you take your spoon and you stir the coffee, it swirls around. Well, a rotating black hole can do that to empty space. It can cause space to swirl around. My breakthrough, which came through much later, was to realize that in Einstein's theory, something else could do that too, and that's light. We don't think of light as having an effect, a gravitational effect, but it does. You might say, well, how am I going to get light to be like rotating black hole or rotating object? Well, suppose that you have a square in front of you, and suppose that you put a mirror at each corner of the square, and suppose you send a light beam, a laser beam, down from one corner of the mirror to the other corner of the mirror. It reflects off the mirror there and goes over to the other corner, reflects off of that mirror, goes up to the other corner, reflects off of that, and then comes back to the original corner. You can see the light beam was going around the square.
Mm-hmm.
That would create what's known as a circulating light beam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this light beam going around. Now, the space that's within that square will actually get twisted around just like the coffee in a cup. In other words, the circulating laser beam will act like a spoon. The space inside will act like coffee, okay? So the circulating light beam will actually cause that empty space to get swirled around, just like coffee in a cup.
And because Einstein says that space and time are really the same thing or kind of together, then time is swirling too?
Yes, exactly. Normally, we think of time as sort of a straight line, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where at the bottom of the line, you know, is the past yesterday. The middle of the line is like the present today. And the top of the line is like the future. But if time is getting swirled around, then time can be bent into a loop. That means that you can actually move from the future back into the past.
This is the kind of thing physicists talk about, and it's very, very fun to speculate about and to hear about. But is it pure theory, or could it actually be physically real?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we're looking for funding in order to do that. In other words, I'm a theoretical physicist. I have an experimental colleague. His name is Chandroy Chowdhury. He's a specialist in lasers at the University of Connecticut. He's a professor of physics. And he became interested in trying to verify my work. And so we've been working closely together, and he has come up with experimental designs to test and prove my theories.
This just sounds amazingly exciting, but how far could you take the practical applications? I mean, let's say you get all your funding, and in fact, you prove that you can send a subatomic particle back a nanosecond in time. Does it mean that we could ever really send people back in time? I mean, getting back to your dream of traveling in time?
You know, we're not trying to do it with people, of course, at this particular stage. That may happen, right? We're trying to prove the principle.
Don't you get caught in an endless time loop?
Now, see, that's precisely the thing that comes up with the notion of time travel. This is the fact that if I change something in the present, then I change the future. And there's two things that you have to realize with respect to that, because that leads to the notion of these paradoxes that can occur. You know, the most famous one being the so-called grandfather paradox, which says that suppose a time traveler goes back into the past and they prevent their grandfather from meeting their grandmother somehow. Then if they do that, then their grandparents, of course, don't have their parents.
So then you've wiped yourself out.
Right. And so how did you go back and do that? That's called the grandfather paradox, okay? But there's two different ways in which you can view that. Once again, it comes back to this notion of quantum theory. We cannot predict exactly what's going to happen next in quantum theory. All we can say is what is probably going to happen. One aspect of quantum theory is that if you apply it to the entire universe, it leads to the possibility that there is actually not just simply our universe, but there is actually parallel universes. These other universes look very much like our universe, but they're different. They occur whenever any particular decision is made in our universe. Let me give you an example. Suppose that at lunch today, you were trying to make a decision between whether to have a fish sandwich or cheeseburger. At that particular point, according to quantum theory, there would be a split of the universe. There would be a you that had the cheeseburger and a you that had the fish sandwich. Now, these two universes are real and independent of each other and separate. Now, this doesn't have to do with just simply human decisions. I mean, if you have an electron that has two possible paths, according to this, it takes both paths, but in different universes. So this is the notion of parallel universes, that there's a split of the universe into other universes for every decision that has to be made. Now, how does this apply to time travel? Now we go back to this grandfather paradox situation. When the time traveler goes back into the past, at the instant they get back into the past, there's a split in the universe. They arrive in a branch of the universe in which, in fact, they can't prevent their grandparents from meeting each other, and their grandparents don't have their parents. They will find themselves, or time traveler will find themselves in a strange universe in which they've never been born, but they will be there. However, remember that when they went back into the past, there was a split. The other universe is the branch that they actually originally came from. And they don't affect, they aren't in that branch. And so they don't affect the past. And that branch leads to the time traveler.
So the time machine actually lets you not just travel in time, but between universes.
Exactly, exactly. And so the upshot is that you can travel back in time and change the past, but the past you change is not the past that you came from. And so there is no paradox here because you're not changing the original universe you came from.
Ron Mallett, talking with Anne Strangechamps. Mallett is a theoretical physicist at the University of Connecticut. His book is called Time Traveler.